May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 21. The wandering world inquires to know why I should love my Jesus so. What are his charms, say they, above the objects of a mortal love? Hymn number 21.
Thank you. We'll read from God's holy word, Psalms 65 and 66. Psalms 65 and 66. Psalm 65, to the chief musician, the psalm and song of David. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Psalm 66. To the chief musician, a song or psalm. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honour of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth hath spoken, when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and I was extolled with my tongue. He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray indeed for thy help this day, on this thy day. O Lord, we do praise thee for thy goodness and thy mercy, thy long-suffering unto us, thy preservation and thy safekeeping. And O Lord, may we not raise up that Ebenezer and say, how that hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And O Lord, thou indeed art our guide even unto death. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy grace and thy mercy and thy help, though we are so unworthy of it. In so many ways we do sin. We sin and come short of the glory, thy glory. In our thoughts, in our words, in that which we do, or that which we do not do, or do not say, or do not think, for we forget. O Lord, have mercy. And O Lord, we would pray, help us now as we come to thy word. Do grant that help and that strength to speak a few words in thy holy name that may be profitable. O Lord, do apply thy word. Do speak, O Lord, by the Spirit. And grant us ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. That, O Lord, we indeed may lay it up to heart. That we may be doers of the word and not hearers only. O Lord, we do pray that the word may come with power. O Lord, we do pray that not just here, but in every assembly where thy saints are gathered together and thy servants do preach. O Lord, indeed in this nation. O Lord, how we do need thy outpouring of thy Holy Spirit to deliver us at this time. To deliver us from those who that hate thy name. Thy word, the teaching of the children, and anything that which is good. But, O Lord, thou art mightier than they. Do, O Lord, indeed help. Do, O Lord, grant thy gracious help in this evil day. O Lord, we would pray that thou mightest be pleased to look in mercy upon us in the nation at this critical time. Look in mercy, we pray, upon our Prime Minister and Government and Parliament. So many things contrary to thy word. But, O Lord, we are yet bidden in thy word to pray for all that are in authority. To pray that we may lead peaceable lives in all honesty and in all godliness. O Lord, we do pray at this critical time that thou wouldst help and appear for us. Indeed, our sins deserve thy judgments. We are verily guilty. O Lord, look in mercy. O Lord, we would commit all these things into thy hand. Thou who art all-powerful, thou who hast all men's hearts in thy hand, every circumstance. And, O Lord, we do pray concerning the children, the young people. O Lord, do preserve them. Do lead them in the right way. Keep them in this evil day, we do pray. Grant indeed thy grace to be upon them each. O Lord, in the brethren here in their venture concerning a school, O Lord, do indeed grant that help, we pray. O Lord, do grant thy that way may be opened. And O Lord, that thou wouldst be pleased that the children may be taught that which is wholesome, that which is honest, that which is good, that which is from thy word, that they may be taught by the Spirit and led of thee. O Lord, grant us that help in the Sunday school this afternoon, that, O Lord, thy grace may be upon us each. But indeed in the services now, that we each may have that childlike spirit, that childlike faith, which is so vital. O Lord, we would pray for those that are sick at this time, unable to come out to thy house. O Lord, we do pray that thou would strengthen them and help them. Grant thy healing hand, and any that are unwell, or in pain, or in distress, or loneliness, or bereavement, that thou wouldst indeed help, and look in mercy and in grace. And, O Lord, we do pray, grant thy favour upon thy servants that preach. Do be with my own pastor at home, and Brother Jonathan in the ministry where he is preaching. But, O Lord, that thou wouldst favour them and each of thy servants. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst raise up more labourers to preach the everlasting gospel, to preach thy word, not in the fear of man, but in thy fear, and with the anointing of the Spirit. Do, O Lord, then help, we pray, and grant us those ears to hear now, that strength to speak thy word. Do keep us faithful in our speaking and in our hearing. We would ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 1024. Oh, for a heart to praise the Lord, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me. Hymn 1024.
May the Lord, may the Lord help us in coming to his holy word this morning and truly teach us. I direct you to Psalm 65 and verse 11. Psalm 65 and verse 11. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Truly every blessing, it is from God, through Christ Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. Every blessing is from above. That is a true blessing. This earth, indeed, is cursed on account of sin. Cursed is the man that put his trust in man. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But those true and real blessings, they are from God. By his goodness and by his mercy. Our first word in our text is thou. That is speaking unto God, thou. As we come to the end of the year, we can look back and see all the way that perhaps the Lord has led us. Not a way that we have expected, but the Lord's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways, but his thoughts and his ways are so much higher than our ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth. Indeed, his thoughts and his ways are heavenly. They are perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. We do need precious faith to view this rightly. For in the flesh we may look back at the things that have happened in the year with bitterness, with rebellion, with anger, resentment. Now we do need that grace of faith to look back and see that they are part of the all things that work together for good. To them that love God and are the called according to his purposes. Thou crownest the year. None of these things are by chance. None of these things are ultimately the hand of man, but it is these things are in God's hand. And we do well to praise God. In the flesh, in our own spirits, we will not. But we do need that grace from above. That we may be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We may be in the Spirit in the way as we are spared as we go forth into another year. To see God's hand. Often think in this context about John on the Isle of Patmos. And Patmos gets scarce a mention. Less than half a verse in the entire book of the Revelation. In the 21 chapters, only about half a verse, just so we may see the context. There for the testimony of Christ. Persecuted, exiled in his old age from the church, put on this rocky island but the Lord was with him. And the Lord revealed his glory. The Lord indeed, well, we may say there was a crowning of the year. There was a showing forth, revelation of Christ, the King, in his glory, his majesty, that he reigns above. That although the Roman emperor and the persecutors seemed to have the upper hand, yet above them all there was God. And at the right hand of the Father, the Lamb. And when John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he saw the Lord in his glory. May the Lord grant us of that grace to see by faith his glory, to see in these things that the Lord reigns and is above all things, that all things work together for good, to us lasting good, a spiritual good. Thou crownest the year. But in the midst of those things, and even in those messages to the angels, that is the pastors of those seven churches in Asia, where the Apostle John was particularly placed in God's providence, not all of those messages, as it were, brought a good report. Some grievous things there, that the head of the church, Christ, who sees all things, as he is truly God, saw that which was done in those churches, as indeed the Lord sees what is done in this church and in this congregation, in your home and my home and your life and my life. And it was all laid bare before him. He could see it all. Some was those words of commendation. There was that walking by faith, that living their lives as a sacrifice before God. Others, alas, there was those compromises, heresies, abominations, lukewarmness, forsaking of the first love. But yet, the Lord was above it all. And the Apostle John, then we read, "Look, behold, and I saw a door open in heaven." Could look up above it all and see a door in heaven. Well, as we look by faith unto Jesus, who is the door, the way. There we in coming to Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in seeking him, in looking unto Jesus, there we see the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, one way unto the Father. Behold, and a door opened in heaven. Behold, look, see. And there, then we read, immediately John was in the Spirit. As it were, heaven was opened and he saw the throne of God. And there was a sea of glass and there was peace. Not a ripple, not a murmur, but peace, perfect peace. And he saw the redeemed of the Lord there before the throne. He saw the judgments of God upon the wicked, indeed the eternal end of the wicked, and the eternal glory of the redeemed of the Lord, the bride of Christ, the true church, every true believer. Indeed, there was a crowning of the year. Called to suffer much trial, affliction, persecution. Yet in the midst of that, he was given that great revelation of the glory of God, the majesty of God, and the New Jerusalem. And the judgments of God upon those who are his persecutors. Thou crownest the year. Well, we have in these two psalms, particularly Psalm 65 and 66, description of God's work, his ways. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. In verse 4 of Psalm 65. There we see clearly that blessing is by God's hand. Salvation is of the Lord. Not of him that willeth, or him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. The Lord has said, seek, ye shall find, ask, shall receive, knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Where there is that true seeking with the whole heart, that seeking unto the Lord in prayer. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Those who are truly seeking him, praying unto him, desiring that they may know him. Truly that is the Lord's work, it's not of the flesh. And blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. That he may dwell in thy courts, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. The Lord sees fit to try us. We read of that in Psalm 66. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. Explain that word terrible. It's not in the common sense of something that is badly done, like I did something in a terrible way. That is not the meaning. But in the meaning of a sight that it is awe-inspiring. We read of the Lord who is terrible. See that most clearly at Mount Sinai, where Moses, even Moses, so terrible was the sight. Exceedingly fear and quake. There was that sight of the majesty, the power, the glory of God that was so much greater, so much purer, so much holier than we. That brings a godly fear. There was godly fear in respect to Moses, who was a child of God, even the ungodly. We have the description on that great day of judgment, when they'll call upon the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. But may we view the Lord, he is terrible in his doing, in respect of a godly fear and reverence. To this man will I look, he that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Those times of proving, trying, in the furnace, the fire. Thine is affliction upon our loins, times of sickness, weakness, infirmity. Thou causest men to ride over our heads, times of persecution. We went through fire and through water, times of great danger, or when we feel to be utterly overwhelmed. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place, and I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Well, indeed, if any here that have made a vow before the Lord, if the Lord should deliver me in this matter, bring me through this, we do well to pay that vow in faith, not in a legal spirit, but in faith, in love, unto the Lord. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Indeed, the Lord is pleased to bring us into places of trouble and difficulty, that we may cry unto him in our affliction, that he may hear and answer, and that we should testify and bear witness of his mercy and grace and goodness, and testify of our own folly and sinfulness. Thou crownest the year. Well, if we look back and see in the year many things that seem not to have been joyous, but rather grievous, difficult, troubling, trying, painful. But yet, it's all in the Lord's hand to teach us, to humble us. As it is, if the Lord has, in these things, has brought us to pray, to truly pray for the first time, like Saul of Tarsus, as it were, a terrible sight it was when the Lord appeared unto him. That light shining all around, he fell on his face. And when he arose up, he could not see. He was blind. All his religion, everything. The religion of the Pharisees, all the authority he had in that religion, swept away in a moment. It's all dung and dross. His righteousness had gone, which was but filthy rags. It was as well that it did. For it was not that righteousness that will stand before God. It's not the righteousness of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It's a religion of good works and of pride, and of ceremonies, and of traditions, and of hatred, not of love. It's all swept away. But then we read in that vision that Ananias had in Damascus, who was called to go and lay hands upon Paul and pray for him and that he should be baptized. But the Lord spoke unto Ananias and said, "Behold, he prayeth." There was prayer. The Lord had brought him into that deep place. Behold, he prayeth. Thou crownest the year. Those things that have brought us to pray. Should we not give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness to bring us to prayer? To bring us to pray and to see of the Lord's favour. Reading Psalm 65 again. "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. by terrible things in righteousness. Again, it's that word terrible in the sense of fearful, awesome, that bring a godly fear and a reverence. By terrible things in righteousness thou wilt answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea. We can take that both literally and figuratively. Wherever we be in this earth, we cannot, as it were, we might be absent from one another or from loved ones if we should go to the other side of the earth, but we cannot be absent from or away from the Lord in that sense. The Lord is the Lord of all the earth. No matter where we find ourselves, there is still the throne of grace. But figuratively, if we feel to be at the ends of the earth in our feelings, feeling the noise and the tumult of the waves, or of the people, or all the circumstances, yet it is the Lord which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the people. He is yet the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Or the word to crown. Well, we think, it was that first hymn that we sung, led us also to think of this, the crown that the Lord Jesus Christ bore at Calvary, that it's a crown of thorns, of shame, of humiliation, the thorn, fruit of sin, of the curse. There he was, bearing upon his blessed head that crown of thorns. Once went into a botanical garden, and there was one of the greenhouses was for desert type, semi-desert type cacti and plants, all of them very thorny. And there was one that was called the crown of thorns, that's hideous, spiny, twisted plant. Most fearful thorns upon it. This was not just placed gently upon our Lord's head, but cruelly. And they smote him with a reed or the cane upon his head. There our Lord Jesus Christ was bearing the shame, bearing the sins of the one true church, of every true believer. Both Old Testament and New Testament, from Adam and Eve to the end of time. He bore that crown, that we may be crowned with the Lord's goodness. For we deserve the judgments of God to fall upon us. But it fell upon him, upon our Lord in his sacred humanity, body and soul, that he bore that wrath, that judgment. He was taken that we should set free. He suffered shame that we should know that the goodness, mercy and glory. He went through darkness that we should be brought into life. He laid down his life that we should live. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. It's only on account of the Lord's mercies. As our Lord Jesus Christ bore sin, made sin for us, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the word taketh away in the margin, the word in the original also signifies to bear or to carry, both bear and carry or take away. He bore it, that we might know his goodness and his mercy. And we read elsewhere of the crown. Psalm 103, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That crown that was put upon the head, crown of thorns upon the head of our Lord. There's no tenderness there, but cruelty and mockery and spite, inflicting pain and humiliation. That's how our Lord Jesus Christ bore it. He spake not a word. As a lamb, as a sheep, as a shearer's lamb is dumb. So he spake not a word. But in Christ. There the Apostle Paul could speak about that crown of righteousness that awaited. Although he was in prison, awaiting execution. We read of that in the second epistle to Timothy. What would appear to be that last epistle that the apostle penned by inspiration of God. Therefore I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There is that promise of that crown. We also read of it, Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, that is Christ, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. It's that which doesn't fade. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Those blessings of God in Christ Jesus, they are eternal. It's that treasure which no man can steal, cannot rust or corrupt or the moth eat, but it's that which is eternal. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. God's ways are good. Even in matters of providence, how good the Lord shows himself to be. To send rain upon the just and the unjust. To provide in so many ways. Knowest thou not the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Now indeed it should be something we meditate upon, think upon, is God's goodness to us. When we're in the flesh, we grumble about everything that's wrong, so it seems. The children of Israel did so in the wilderness, and God was greatly displeased and angry with them. They could not enter in because of unbelief. These things are written for our warning, lest we should fall in under that same condemnation, that same spirit of unbelief, that same murmuring. Alas, we do. And may the Lord help us. And may we be in the Spirit. Say, thy will be done. To bow before an almighty God, a good God, Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Indeed, every single human being are accountable before God. Every one of us must give an account before God. Whether we are thankful, whether we given the glory to him. Indeed, it is a great offence against God, a spirit of unthankfulness. Alas, we are guilty, are we not? How indeed our Lord Jesus Christ, he bore the sins of his true church, the elect of God, out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Now we come to the second part. And thy paths drop fatness. Thy paths. As for God, his way is perfect. One of the other psalms, Psalm 77. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. The Lord's ways are past finding out, but it's a perfect way. Maybe things that we cannot understand why it should be so. Why are we being led in this way? We cannot see a reason for it. It's like if there were to be footsteps in the sea, it's erased, you cannot see. If you make a splash in the waters, it's soon gone. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. We cannot see the way in which the Lord is leading, but can we not see this, that the Lord is leading? It is the Lord's hand, it is the Lord. Let him do whatever seemeth him good. There was a child of God who, in matters of his life, there were things that had not been faithful. And there were judgments on account of that. Yet he must bow before God. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. It's a very strange way that David, King David, came to the throne, even though he'd been anointed by Samuel. There was Goliath, there was Saul, there was the Philistines of Gath, there was Ziklag. Then there was that period when he was king only over Judah. Yet the Lord brought him through. It's a strange way. That which would not have been ever planned out by man, but it was God's way. And so it is in our lives as we look back, perhaps over the past year. It was thy paths, God's way, God's calling. We do well to come at his feet and to confess that the Lord indeed is righteous. The Lord indeed is good. As for God, his way is perfect. And for those who seek truly with him with the whole heart, That is a sign that we are one of those who shall receive the blessing. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. That he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Can we not raise an Ebenezer, that stone of help, that testimony? Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Does that not give us hope as we come into a spared to another year? There may be, as we look at it, many uncertainties, difficulties, real or imaginary, many temptations or fears. But again, as we read in the Psalms, this God be our God, even be our guide even unto death. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Can we not raise an Ebenezer to the Lord's grace and mercy and goodness? Does that not give us that hope, encouragement as we go forth? It is thy path, thy paths. So God's doing and God's work. It is for our good. Let us not rebel against him. Like those of the children of Israel, they were led by the cloudy, fiery pillar through the wilderness. It was not as humanly would have thought, the most obvious way. When you see on a map, the route, some of it is not entirely clear in modern geography, but some estimation of the route, it's not a straight line. They must be there in the wilderness, be proved, tried, see what was in their heart those 40 years. Yet every step of the way, there was the cloudy, fiery pillar. But yet there were those that rebelled, who were not satisfied with God's provision, with the manna or the water from the smitten rock, which is Christ, speaks of Christ. They demanded flesh. Our soul is dried up by this light bread, despising the word of God and Christ, desiring flesh. And the wrath of God was upon them. Oh, indeed, we need that grace to follow wherever the Lord will lead us. His ways are so much higher than our ways, his thoughts than our thoughts, but his way is the right way. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Consider the word fatness. In Psalm 63, we have in verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And the margin translator's notes against marrow says fatness. Now in the original Hebrew they're two different words. Both often translated as fatness. The second word translated fatness is the same as we have in our text. Thy paths drop fatness. It's a different word to the one translated here, marrow, which is often elsewhere translated as the fat or the oil. The first one with marrow or fatness. That is, as it were, the best of things. As it were, the fat, the oil, the richest of things, the marrow. As with marrow and fatness, but the second word, translated fatness in Psalm 63 and verse 5, and which is translated fatness in our text, is a different word. It's not used so often in the Bible. And it's elsewhere translated as ashes, signifying the, as it were, the fatty ashes from the sacrifice. As we find in Leviticus, concerning the sin offering. And do not these things see pointing to Christ and his sacrifice for sin? In Leviticus chapter 4, concerning the sin offering. Even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burned. That same word which is translated here, fatness, those, as it were, those fatty ashes from the sacrifice, where we see the commandment here concerning the sacrifice. He shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, and the kidneys, it shall he take away. As it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. There is a sacrifice for sin. There is a sacrifice that brings peace. That burning of the, particularly of the fat. So those ashes, the fatty ashes, as it were, as the word signifies. Thy paths drop fatness. There's a clear pointing here to that sacrifice. That one sacrifice for sin. There is that mercy. And that, see, that feeding upon, by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Feeding upon his broken body, his shed blood. Thy paths drop fatness. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. These things, well, they're not satisfying to the flesh, but there's a satisfying to the soul. In believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross, and his resurrection from the dead, and his ascension to heaven, and his intercession at the right hand of the Father for us. We also find this word in Isaiah 55. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Again, that same word, signifying the fatty ashes from the sacrifice. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And delighting in the soul. And thy paths drop fatness. Again, we read it in Jeremiah chapter 31. That chapter that begins in speaking of the everlasting love of God. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. At a time when the judgments of God were about to fall in terrors upon Jerusalem through the hand of the king of Babylon. But here was that prophecy of the restoring of Israel, that showing forth of the manifesting of the everlasting love of God. And in verse 11, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. And then we go on in verse 14, I will satiate the soul, that is satisfy, fill the soul of the priests with fatness. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. In those same words, goodness, and the fatness, the fatty ashes from the sacrifice. Now, which is sacrifice for sin. Now, which is a peace offering to bring reconciliation. May the Lord give us that increase of faith to feed by faith upon our Lord, upon his goodness, his mercy and his grace. And look unto him. Look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth. And be saved. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There is the blessing in him. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £815, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Sadler will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Hadley will preach on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning. And Mr. Charles Warboys will, God willing, preach in the evening. The collections today are for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. And our friends at St. Ives hope to hold their New Year prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 886. I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul, to heal a feverish mind and make a bankrupt whole, a cup of blessing for the poor, that's free and full and flowing o'er. Hymn 886.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.